Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, again, to sort of start the discussion on the set of activities that we are going to perform to assess the portfolio and decide whether or not to make any changes, begins really today with our first interview of Trustee Watts, and that starts the enterprise risk tolerance assessment. So if you'll flip to slide two, I want to walk you through the process.
No get pressure, Risky.
Just don't
you'll be
it
setting
up.
A
we're all counting
high
on
bar
risk.
For us today.
And so I want to walk you through the process, take any questions, but really kind of set your idea of how things are going to play out over really from now through November. So on slide two, we show graphically this integrated consulting process. And of course, each one of these slices of the pie has a ton of detail underneath it. We are focusing on the first two slices of the pie here, and we're going to talk about the assessment and then the design stages. This is a really deliberate process that's shown in detail in the back of this slide deck. I'm not going to go through every line item of our work plan, but I do want to talk about the high-level activities and tasks, again, to set your expectations. So, in assess, we've really got two main stages in assess. We've got, or phases, we've got the current state assessment and the enterprise risk tolerance assessment. The current state assessment is all about helping us get a keen understanding of all the details of your plan, your managers, their performance, how they work with one another in terms of portfolio construction, a sense of any decisions that have been made in the past, right? We want to be very aware of deliberate decisions you all have made in the past so we don't come in and step on those. We want to be aware of all the elements of the investment policy statement. So it really is just a broad survey of everything that is the CSERA, makes up the CSERA plan. The enterprise risk tolerance assessment has a couple of elements to it, and this helps us gauge and relate back to you what we believe is your risk tolerance, how much risk that you can afford. And we do that largely through two activities. One is the interviews, so we're going to spend somewhere between 60 and 90 minutes with each of you and with staff to walk through a detailed interview guide to help us get a sense of where are you on a number of issues. Right, and what's your level of understanding of a number of issues, and what questions do you have back to us on these things? So we start that process today, and it'll go through June 10th, where we're going to hopefully touch with each one of you. The plan sponsor review is really an economic landscape review, where we get an understanding of the plan sponsor's flexibility to come in and provide additional support should things go wrong. We'll look at things like credit rating, pension obligation bonds. We'll look at the liabilities of the plan, the cash flows, and really come back and put those two things together and come back and say, okay, here's where we think you are. You can afford higher risk, or you should be taking lower risk, or you're sort of somewhere right in the middle. I'll just sort of give you a preview of that. Typically, folks are right in the middle, right? Probably no surprise there, but we do go through this detailed review to come back with a sense of where your risk tolerance is. All of this stuff then becomes an input into the design session, the design stage. And the design stage is really focused around this investment strategy development workshop that we've talked about having as a 2-day. We'll certainly decide whether or not we need 2 days or can encapsulate it into a single day. But that's where we take all the information, the data from the assessment stage. We do a lot of modeling. We do asset liability modeling. We take a number of different investment strategies and provide, this is where the intuitive metrics come in, where you can look at your current strategy relative to a standard 60/40, relative to a peer portfolio, relative to more complex portfolios and say, okay, I get it. I understand what the downside risk is. I understand what the costs of these plans are. I understand what this will do to my funded ratio and my contributions if things go wrong. And so we come back and we bring all that to you, and then you guys will make a judgment of, I think I like that one or these two or these three. So let's focus in on those and discard all these. At that session, we'll also do targeted education, which we should get a sense of the need for that coming out of the interviews, assuming that you choose to take the time to do that. We also have an opportunity to talk about governance and the decisions made, the authority, the responsibility, and the accountability of the decisions that are made between you guys and staff. So there's some discussion or some opportunity to open that up and say, we're comfortable with the way decisions are made. We like the way that the accountability is laid out now. Or maybe there are some opportunities to push some decisions back to staff. We could bring in, and we'll when we get to that point, we'll talk to staff and to you about bringing in governance experts to present to you. And that would be the time that this would happen. Open up the governance discussion during that investment strategy workshop. So once at the end of that, you should have a good sense of the investment strategy direction you want to take, but that's not the last of it. Now you need to drive it down into a specific asset allocation. Please, Jerry.
Give me an example of best government practices that you're referring to.
So we've worked a lot, and I understand you have too, with Cortex and Tommy Annucci, and I've seen him present to boards quite a bit. And so he has this governance best practices workshop that becomes an element of strategy development workshop, where he will tell you that boards should be focused on policy and decisions and monitoring, and implementation decisions ought to be pushed down to staff. So that's really kind of the high-level crux of it. Okay. And more specifically, that would be manager hire-fire decisions. Is one area that gets a lot of airtime.
Monitoring policy is something that it suddenly interests me as you say it, because I'm thinking in my head, have we monitored our policy closely? And I don't think we really have.
Okay.
A lot of times in past meetings, I'm thinking mostly when Rich Cabral was here, we would talk about what we have done in the past, and Rich would say, "Well, this is the way and none of us really did the policy check to see, is that really where we are, or is it real that that's what has transpired?" So that need, I think that's an important issue, and okay, probably we need to spend some time on.
And one thing that may come out of that is specific policy guidelines that can be monitored in a compliance monitoring format, a compliance monitoring dashboard, mm-hmm, for example. So, and I'm not talking about whether you're fixed income manager is beyond their guidelines in low quality credits, right? I'm talking about asset allocation bands. I'm talking about if we want to put some risk metrics in your policy, we can put bands around those risk metrics, and then okay, you can sort of easily monitor those on a quarterly basis.
I got a picture of that. Thank you.
Okay. Is it common for a consultant to be involved in the governance piece of it?
I would say that it is not common, but it's not unheard of. And incidentally, we would likely not be the ones that would be driving that discussion. We would,
right,
we would recommend that you bring in a governance expert. Okay. So then the next step after that investment strategy development workshop is out of that, you would have your investment strategies, one or two, hopefully one selected, and then the next step would be we'd come back to you with a specific asset allocation. It would be almost, it's a similar process, but now you're only talking about the asset side, right? In the investment strategy, you're talking about matching up the assets and the liabilities, and you get a real good sense of, you get those key metrics. On the asset side, you say, okay, we've got a broad sense of what it looks like. Now let's talk about how much large cap value are we going to have? How much are we going to have? How much credit exposure are we going to have? How much are we going to have in small cap growth and commodities or what have you? Again, it's not clear, certainly at this point, whether changes will be made to your current portfolio or not. Okay. And then we're also talking about implementation issues like how much active versus passive and which managers, et cetera, et cetera. And then once those decisions are made, the investment policy is written to reflect all of that, and then we move to implementation. So basically what I just went through is slides 3, 4, and 5. I want to move to slide 6.
Before you go there, Scott, I wanted to revisit the question I asked earlier, because one, I think it was an unfair question, the way I asked it, and it was in the wrong part of the presentation.
Are you going to restate it to be another unfair question?
Yeah. I'm going to make it a less unfair question. No, it struck me as we were looking over the results that Ed was presenting and looking at the performance that someone looking at this, whether they are sitting in the audience for one meeting or have been here for a couple years, would be struck by the fact that the fund has done well. Done very well, and been come out of the hard times, you know, well, and has continued to perform, but I guess I was asking, you know, about the if it's not broke, you know, why are we fixing it? Because it seems to me that the process you're describing is the thought process and the involvement process that we have to make to really define the next 10 years or the next 20 years. It has to be it's a forward looking. If we just stayed complacent, dumb, and happy, we could hit an iceberg, right?
Precisely.
So an answer to that question that I didn't artfully ask is the reason you would do this and potentially want to revisit how assets are allocated is because the future ain't necessarily going to look like the last 20 years or so, right?
I think that's absolutely true.
So the reason we do this is because it's going great and we're doing well, but we must of necessity look forward, and what used to be may not be, probably won't be.
Right.
And I think we gave a little foreshadowing of that as well in terms of thinking about the macroeconomic outlook and what's happened here with U.S. equities versus what's happening today international equities. That story may change, and right now we're very heavily allocated to the U.S. equities, so is that still what we want to be doing going forward? And that's something we can explore then, thinking about that from an asset allocation perspective and also from a tactical current valuations perspective.
And I was thinking about the periodic chart where you look at the small cap growth, and you said that was the place to be, right? Pretty obvious when you look at it.
Right.
But, you know, that's the over the continuum of time that's embodied in that chart, and that, you know, looking forward, it may or may not be.
Right.
And there's questions that we haven't focused on historically, that because of changes in the economic regime, because of changes about our maturity as a fund in terms of our cash flow profile, are now more pertinent, and they need to be incorporated in terms of the actual risk profile. The performance report focuses on the absolute performance of the assets, which is a fun part of what we do, but it's not the whole. There's nothing in a quarterly performance report currently that talks about progress towards fund status. There's not a lot in the report yet about using a risk budget and how that ties back to, you know, furthering the organization's goals. So if there are additional questions and there are additional metrics that we can ask and that we should ask, and that I think is the mandate that's got going for.
The analogy for me is what we just went through before we did this, deciding whether or not to sell this building or not sell this building. I was before we started all that, I didn't want to sell this building. After we went through the education, I got smart.
Close
oh, jeez.
Open
oh,
session.
Yeah.
Well, picking up on Tim's point in another way, it would be there's a different way of defining success there, too. So if you look at success as being the number one percentile, that's a definition of success. I think Tim's highlighting the definition of success may be the fulfillment of the enterprise objective here in terms of being able to pay the benefit payments and minimizing risk in doing so. So that,
yeah, I mean, ultimately, that's the obligation, right?
Right.
We are in the business by plan and design of being able to pay benefits to the members. That's what we do.
Okay, so all that said, if you'll flip to slide 6, I'll just walk you through the plan for the next several meetings through November. So we're at May 28th, going through the detailed work plan review. We're going to do the interviews between now and June 10th, interviewing trustees and staff. We have been working on the plan sponsor review really back to April, and so we'll pull those things together for the June meeting. One of the critical aspects of that June meeting is going to be reconciling different viewpoints and differences of opinion across the trustees, right? So I'll just take a simple example. If one group of trustees is very strongly of the viewpoint that you ought to be all active, and another group of trustees is of the viewpoint that you ought to be all passive, extreme example, that must somehow be reconciled, because you can't not build an investment strategy on split board viewpoints. And I'll tell you why. Because the first time something goes wrong with the strategy, the group that was opposed to it will jump all over it. It will typically get changed, and it will typically get changed right at the wrong time. So that reconciliation of viewpoints, that consensus building exercise, becomes a key element of this. Okay? Again, just to sort of set expectations there. So once we have a good sense of that enterprise risk tolerance and we've reconciled those conflicting viewpoints, we'll present the current state assessment at the July meeting. Again, getting your feedback on our observations. It will be enlightening for all of us, I think. And then we get busy. So once we have all those inputs, we get busy on developing that investment strategy workshop. That is a big chunk of work where we construct a day or two. Typically it's a couple of days, typically it's off-site, depending, you know, we need time for education on the issues that we're going to be presenting. We need, if we want to include governance in there, that's going to be another 3 or 4 hours. And so we'll, you know, come up with an agenda that we'll present to you, and you can decide whether you want to do a 1 or a 2 day event. But that's where we bring everything together, and the output of that is the selection of an investment strategy.
Scott, let me confirm that we're on 6, not 7, and hence actually changing dates from what is currently on
yes.
our schedule. We're waiting until 7 to deal
yes.
with. Okay.
Thank you for making that clarification. Okay. So then, as I alluded to in the previous slide, I think it's also important to point out that, you know, we may come out of that investment strategy workshop after that day or 2 days, and after you guys have been, you know, inundated and fed with a fire hose, you guys may say, you know what? I appreciate all the information. We got a lot to think about. We can't really make that decision here. That happens. And so in that case, in cases like that, there may be some slippage in this schedule. But right now, I'm making the assumption that you guys are very wise and deliberate people, and we'll be able to come out of that with a decision on what investment strategy or limited set of strategies you want to follow. That will then lead us into that next stage, the asset allocation workshop. And then following that, we've got all the information that we need to implement. And so the first step there is to build the new investment policy statement and then implementation. And then in the implementation, we'll have to develop a new plan based on what comes out of September and October. Okay? Any questions? It's, you know, as I said, it's a deliberate process. We've done it numerous times, and we will, at the end of it, have a decision to either make some adjustments
or not.
Which ones are storming, norming, and where do we hit performing?
That. So hopefully the performing will be right at June 24th.
All right.
Or 25th. We'll see how much storming and norming we do between then. And Mr. Chairman, that concludes my report.
Okay. Any questions from the board? Just at this point, we move to 7.
1. I look forward to the process.
Thank you very much.
Oh, yes. I was just reminded. Let's take a little bit more than 5 minute break. Be back at 10:02. Gives us seven minutes. Right.
I have one follow-up point for Todd's question about how long the history of the standard deviations goes. It varies by asset class. It follows an exponentially weighted moving average, so the more current is weighted more heavily than the past. So it has a really long tail, but basically anything older than 3 years doesn't matter.
That's how I would have explained it.
That's how I would have explained it.